We have so many wonderful lessons to learn from the sacred liturgy of today on this 15th Sunday after Pentecost. The first thing, which I have been speaking about in the last few weeks already, if you remember, if you listened in the first place, from the collect of today's Mass. It says, because without thee, it cannot be established. We can do nothing. We're speaking about the church. We're speaking about virtue. We're speaking about grace. But we're speaking about ourselves too. Without thee, O Lord, we can do nothing. We cannot be established in holiness and grace or anything else whatsoever. And then, of course, we have another of those wonderful lessons from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians. And so many ideas, too many to touch on. But it reminds us of the necessity of humility. And he speaks here, let us not be made desirous of vain glory. That's pride. That's showing off. Provoking one another, envying one another. And very often times, and you know, if you read the lives of the saints, which I hope you do, the saints' lives are magnificent reads because they are the gospel put into action, which you need to do. You need to put the gospel into action, and you need to read about how others, that is, the saints, have put the gospel into action. And if you read the lives of the saints, you'll see that oftentimes there are priests in the monastery or the monks in the monastery or nuns in the monastery also, different kinds of monasteries, but yet monasteries. But when there is a saint among them, they're very jealous and they treat them poorly and they make them suffer. Of course, that's because God wants them to, by the way. But God does not want people to be mean to each other. But God permits it so that those saints may be made holier. And of course, if they are really saints, they will behave like saints. Unlike you and I, who will bite back and tell them what to do and where to go and how to get there. That is not good. And of course, that's why we have confession. You know, a lot of people don't think that we should confess those things which seem so little. People think that the only commandments that we need to confess have to do with killing or committing adultery or something, or stealing maybe. Some people don't even think that's a sin. But there are 10 commandments not to. And then, of course, it speaks about meekness and humility and the fact that we need to have that. They are gifts of the Holy Spirit. We saw some of them last week. They're very important. And we cannot gain converts and new souls to the church, to our cause, which is the cause of Jesus Christ, our Lord, if we are mocking and kicking and insulting people. Now, on the other hand, that doesn't mean that others should insult us either. And at each time, the Lord will give us the way in which we are about to respond, if any. Now, the reading of the Gospel of today is a very beautiful reading. It shows the tremendous mercy and compassion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true God and true man. And this is shown when, as he goes into the little town of Naim, and of course that's oftentimes mispronounced, but it's Naim, a funeral procession is coming out. And they're carrying a bier. And of course they're not carrying Heimlich or something like that, a bier, that litter on which a dead person is carried. When a bishop or a pope is laid out in state, they are put on a bier. But they're not advertising Anheuser-Busch by any means. It is what is called B-I-E-R, not B-E-E-R. So remember this. It's interesting, in some of the modern translations, if you can call them that, they changed that to coffin. They didn't have coffins at that time. Coffins came very, very recently. Very recently. So they had biers, and the body was wrapped up, and then it was inserted into the ground. Not the bier. Now, in this day and age, the coffin is inserted into a cement coffin, and then it's all sealed because of infection. And one can get infections from the dead as well. But this leads me, and the Holy Spirit, I think, is instructing me to speak about something that I don't speak very often. I think all of us agree about this, but not all. I mean, I've had one or two parishioners who have left because of this, and that's their tough luck. But the practice of the church that goes back to the Old Testament, and it still is the practice of the church, is that we should bury the dead. It is not that we should cremate the dead. We are not Buddhists. We're not Hindus. We are Roman Catholics who are the successors, by the will of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through the intervention of Mary, daughter of Zion, we are those who receive that same faith that we have had for 6,000 years, or at least. We bury our dead. You see, in the Old Testament, for instance, some of those very wonderful Tobias, Job, and so forth, who went out at night and snuck out and went out and buried the dead, lest the pagans burnt them up. This is a corporal work of mercy. Now, in some cases, the church permits, very, very few cases, by the way, it is not just an economic thing, for a person to be cremated. But the tradition is that when there is a funeral, the body, not the ashes, be brought to the church. And I will not permit that. I will not permit that. If I have to go to the cemetery and bury the ashes, that's wonderful, you know, that's your problem, not mine. You know, maybe they started early already. Oops. But we need to bring the body to the church to be blessed again. And hopefully that person will have been blessed with the sacrament of extreme unction, of the anointing of the sick, and of viaticum, the last communion, before death. But nevertheless, that is the practice, and it is the practice here in this parish and shrine. So remember that. Don't even bother to ask, because I will not do it. And I don't care who tells me to do it, I will not do it. Period. It's being done all over the place. And so I thought, when we were talking here about a funeral, that's very important. And of course, I often tell you, in many ways, more often than not in the confessional, you need to prepare for death. And of course, principally, you need to prepare spiritually. You need to go to confession, to go to communion, to do all the spiritual things that prepare you so that you can go to purgatory. And if you're lucky, you will go to purgatory. There you will have fire, not here. But it also means that you need to prepare for your funeral, for the cost of a funeral. The coffin, the funeral directors, the priest, yes, the priest, the altar servers, yes, the altar servers, the acolytes. What do you think? They do it because you have a pretty face? Of course, a lot of the times you go to the coffin and say, oh, she never looked better. But that's not what we're talking about here. I will enjoy doing that with certain parishioners when they die, and hopefully I'll die first. But anyway, And now you can say that about me, but that's not true because I've already gone down quite a bit. But we need to prepare for those things. Now, it doesn't matter how many flowers you have. That's nonsense. You can have some, but a very few of them. But the most important thing for the dead and for yourself is to prepare that you may have masses said for your soul. In my will, and everything goes to three monasteries, they are instructed for them to receive this from my estate. They need to say masses on certain days of the year for so many years. And that's it. If they don't want to do it, then it goes back to the estate. Then it gets divided among the others. And if that doesn't go there, then I don't know. You know, they can give it to the DNC or something. God forbid. I'd rather have been burnt. So, but you need to prepare for those things. You need to prepare and have a proper will. So, these are things that come to my mind when I see this beautiful gospel of a young man. And you know, unless somebody else tells us somewhere else that I have not read, and I read quite a bit, I do not know the name of this young man. We just know the only son of the widow of Nain. And he was most likely just still a teenager, and he was her livelihood. And our Lord knew it. It meant starvation or great poverty for her. Maybe she was like most people. Maybe she was not prepared for death. And of course, most people think, oh, I will die before my son, so I don't have to worry about him. Well, God has a very, very interesting way to show you His will. You can never mock God, as St. Paul says in the epistle. So you have to be prepared and use that rare thing called common sense. Prepare. Prepare spiritually. Prepare financially. Prepare physically. And of course, our Lord is God. And He raises the young man from the dead. What a magnificent thing. This is at the beginning of the Gospel, by the way, chapter 7 of St. Luke's Gospel. And our Lord says, young man, I say to thee, get up. Get up. And here it says in Latin, adolescens. He was an adolescent. That's how young he was. Adolescent, get up. And what does he do? What adolescents love to do. He starts yakking away. He began to speak. Of course, he was a boy, not a girl. So thank God for that. Anyway, girls like to speak more than boys, usually. Adolescent, get up. And everybody, what on earth happened? He raises the dead. Who is this? And they glorified God. They did not yet realize that He was God, but they would soon. They just say, a great prophet has arisen. Now, of course, they knew that the Messiah was coming, was about to come. They could feel it, just as we can feel so many things in our very bones. And I don't mean arthritis. That there is something about to happen, something wonderful, and maybe also something horrible. And so they began to think, and some of them probably began to believe in Jesus Christ. Who but God can raise the dead? And so they say, God has visited His people. And how can we not recognize this? We who have the church, we who have the sacraments, the priesthood, and the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. What other nation is there like unto us, whose God is so close to us, that we can eat His body and drink His blood in the Holy Eucharist? There is no other. There is no comparison. This is it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.